Well, after that UFO sighting in eighth grade, for the next few years, I had these sort of first-person flashback bits of, you know, memory that, you know, they were, maybe they were dreams, who knows, but they certainly were the first time I ever remember dreaming in first person, and they were just snippets of things, like being taken from my house by some unseen force, you know, and remembering reading in one of Whitley Strieber's books about him grabbing his cat, you know, into an abduction scenario so that he would know that it was real. Well, in the same way, I tried to grab a picture off the wall from behind the TV, but I just couldn't get it.
As you're being whooshed away, huh?
Yeah, and it, you know, all of this it is in the context of a flashback, you know. And another one was being, you know, driving with my mother, and this giant triangle craft, you know, is overhead, and I'm fishing through the glove compartment trying to find something to draw it so that I'll remember it, and it sucks up the entire car. And as we get into what would be the bottom of the craft, suddenly these sort of blue lights on the thing start going in sequence, and, you know, I'm just scared out of my mind, and, you know, things like that. And then eventually, at the age of 15, something actually walked into my bedroom. I mean, really did walk into my bedroom. And it was the middle of the night, and I heard my door open because it makes this sort of, you know, this thump sound, and I heard that, and I sat upright a little bit on my elbows, and, you know, some sort of shadowy being, couldn't make out the detail, walked in, and I sat upright. I, like, bolted up, and I was like, you know, I said, "Ma, what are you doing here? Go back to bed," because she was the only person in the house, and immediately thought, "This isn't your mother. You know what this is." And this whoever this person was babbling at me, and I could see its head bobbing, and it had in its left hand some sort of, you know, sharp, pointy thing, which I thought...
Still shadowy looking?
Yeah.
At that point?
I mean, I never made out detail of this thing. And I just sort of like, I really, you know, fight or flight instinct kicked in and I flew. I threw covers over my head and just, you know, shivered, you know, and that's all I remember of that. I don't know what else happened there. Cut to a couple of weeks later, and my sister is home from college Christmas vacation, and the same sort of thing, that I hear my bedroom door open, and so now I'm awake, and this time I look at the clock. I didn't look at it the first time, and it's 4:37 in the morning, and so I hear this thing, and I roll over. I don't want to deal with this, you know, so I roll over, and I'm scared out of my mind. I don't even know why. I don't see anything walk in. I don't hear anything, but I'm thinking they're here for your sister. For some reason, this is going through my mind. They're here for your sister, and that's not enough for me to get up and check it out, so I make a little joke to myself. I'm like, well, you got to pee anyway, so you might as well just get up. So I try to get up, and literally, and not paralysis, it's more, I'm moving my body one way, and my body is moving the opposite. Like, all the muscles in my body are gluing themselves as I'm moving. And this happens, and I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going to tell the kids at school this tomorrow, you know, I better make sure it's not my sheets holding me back.
Well, and assuming you were going to come back tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not even, you know, all I can do at that point is sort of make little jokes in my head. I'm not even thinking rationally at that point. So I try it again. I try to move, and, you know, can't do it. Just can't do it. Scared out of my mind. And again, you know, I don't know much more of what happens other than that, you know.
Do you recall being in a craft?
Not at that point, no. 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 In fact, I don't even, here's what's interesting to me. You know, skeptics make the argument that, you know, this is all, you know, media images. You see these beings and then you hallucinate them or whatever during sleep paralysis, except that I never saw them. I didn't see them, you know, up close and personal, or have a memory, I should say, of seeing them until 99, and then again in 2001. And then, you know, when they were right by my bedside, and I did see them, you know, and I do have a memory of that encounter.
So this has been ongoing, but in the beginning you really didn't have recollection of what was going on, because I was going to say maybe you were just dreaming. You're now convinced these weren't dreams. These were really happening to you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you struggle with that all your life. I you know, and I went to a hypnotherapist at one point in college because it was just eating me up. I don't know why, but it was eating me up inside.
What did he say to you?
Well, actually, she put me under hypnosis, and I felt like she was kind of new agey and had a will to believe. So I felt like, I don't know. I felt like what I told her was not real. I felt like I was trying to say things that that she would want to hear something like that. I mean, I felt that at the time as I was seeing them, right? But I only felt like I was under hypnosis for a few minutes. But I was actually out for a couple of hours. And when I got up, she offered me free therapy. But, you know, I didn't take it because I felt like she had the will to believe. And, you know, I remembered what I had said and it wasn't real to me.
Did she know what you were coming there for in the first place?
Yes. But here's the important point. It wasn't until many years later, like my first radio interview for my book, like in 2003, where the guy said, so what did you say under hypnosis? And I said, you know, I don't remember. And he said, well, you didn't bother to ask? And I said, no. It never even dawned on me what it was that I would have said under hypnosis where she would have offered me free therapy. And the only way I can think that this makes sense is that she put me under deeper than I remember because I was under for hours, not minutes like I felt. And I said something so horrible that she told me not to remember it, you know. She gave me a suggestion not to remember, not to ask. That's
Did she ever tape it and play it back for you?
No, no. And I've lost touch with her. I mean, I have her name, but her number.
So you don't know what happened?
No, I have no idea. Very strange.
So why'd you even bring it up then?
Right now?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm bringing it up because I was under hypnosis for... I was under hypnosis for hours, you know.
I thought you were
like
drawing me to a huge conclusion here of some abduction case.
No, I'm drawing you to that probably, yeah, I probably said something amazing that I have no memory of and no access to. So, yeah, anticlimactic, sorry.
Tell me about your work with UFO Magazine, Jeremy. What do you do there?
I'm an insight columnist there, which basically means I get to sort of write whatever I want. And I originally... you know, I sent them my book to review, and they said, well, you know, we haven't read your book, but we looked at your website. We really like it. You're a good writer. Why don't you come write for us? So,
well, Bill Burns is a good man, a dear friend of mine, co-writer with me, as a matter of fact. And
yeah.
As you know, the publisher of UFO Magazine. I mean, have you become a believer in UFOs, or are you a skeptic?
Like I said, I'm a hypocrite. I mean, I'm skeptical of other people. But I know what I saw, you know. I mean, there's no denying a fluorescent green, you know, unless you have an explanation for that of what that could possibly be. I mean, it was what it was.